It is now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Mary from Clovis.
All right, thank you. And I'd like to thank Bill as well. My name is Mary and I am an alcoholic. Bill and I have this thing, I call him up and, hey Craig, you call him up and I say, I need you to speak in Clovis. And so, we do this thing for each other, and we're both involved very much in hospitals and institutions as well. And I'd like to welcome the newcomers and the girl with one day. Welcome. Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous because I sang too loud in church. I don't know if I realized for a while if I had an alcohol problem. I know I had a mind-altering chemical problem, but I did not understand the disease of alcoholism. I just thought I was insane, and I didn't want what I had anymore. It was like, one more time, here I go. And my last binge, I've done a lot of time in and out of prison, 15 years of my life. I did a lot of crime, and I did a lot of time for that. And I couldn't understand why I could not get a grasp of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was introduced to AA when I was 22, and my brother was sober, and I was really glad you guys got him sober because he really was the alcoholic, and I wasn't. I had things to do, people to see, and places to go, and it got worse. It never got better for me. It just went downhill, and I lived on Skid Row. And I just did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. I had two children by the time I was 22, and they lived in Texas, and I left them with their father, and I walked out because my disease was so cunning, baffling, and powerful. And it told me I didn't have it. And so 10 years later, I have another child because I think that some person will get me sober. And I realize today that no person, no human power can relieve me from alcoholism. And that's the ABCs and how it works. God could and would if you were sought. So when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, it was 12-12-06. I just celebrated 7 years through the grace of God. And I came in, and thank you. I came in, it wasn't me, it's God, I'll tell you, because when I came in, I had a semi-wet brain. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where I lived. I'd been living at this place for a few years. I had went down the road to say that I'm a real alcoholic. It talks about it in the doctor's opinion. And, today I feel I have recovered from a hopeless, aimless mind, state, and body. And I never thought I would say that. Never, ever. So my first couple of years, I still hit people, and, I had to make the amends, and I didn't get this. I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to get this, but I didn't want what I had. I went to Delancey Street for 2.5 years, and stayed dry for 5, and I was insane. I was just really insane, and I really wanted help, and I didn't know how to ask. So when I went to an outside program, it was you go half of the day. And so I would just sit there, and the counselor would say, why aren't you saying anything? And I'd tell her, because I have nothing to say. And I was really rebellious, and I don't know if I wanted what you had. but I knew I didn't want what I had. So I didn't know how you guys did it. How did you stay sober that one day? You know, and you guys told me, don't drink no matter what. And I'm like, no matter what? What do you mean no matter what? You know, live life on life's terms. I'm like, do you know what my life's terms are? You know, because I'll tell you what my life's terms are. You know, I drink when I get up. You know, do mind-altering chemicals to drink more. I mean, it goes on and on and on. That's my life. So I got me a sponsor. And she immediately took me through the steps. And I did them to the best of my ability. And I didn't understand why she did that. But she told me because she was afraid of losing me. And I'll tell you, it was about my second year. I was in that phase of, like, not believing in God. And I'm going to test this God of my understanding. And, you know, I would just do stupid stuff. And I had went to a funeral, you know, in my using and abusing days. And I went to a funeral in Ohio. And it was my aunt. And she drove bus. Well, they had ended up giving me a blanket. And I just threw it under the bed or in the closet like we live when we're on the street. And I didn't really give a crap about it. And I was cleaning the closet and I was pulling this stuff out and I wash it and I go to dry it. And I look at it and it has the Serenity Prayer on it. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, so it was like when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I immediately called my sponsor. I said, oh my God, you know, this is what happened. And she said, can't you see God is in your life? And I'm like, yeah, maybe. Maybe he is. Little things like that were happening in my life and do today. And another big one for me was I had cards made with my name and my phone number to hand out to newcomers. And I get a call from a lady, and she's in the Bay Area, and she says, I received your cards. Do you happen to have mine? And I said, no, I don't. I'm sorry, but I'll give you the money, you know, to get them transferred to my home. And she said, no, don't worry about it. I see your friend at Bill W. And I went, oh my God, because on my card I said, keep coming back or something, one of our slogans. And I said, oh my God, are you a friend of Bill W's? And she said, no, I'm a friend of Lois's. You know, and I'm like, wow. I mean, this lady lives in the Bay Area. I had no clue who this lady was. Now, if that's not God, I don't know what is. And I don't believe today there's any coincidence that happened in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I just don't believe that. Now, you know, as I continued on my journey in sobriety, you know, if you don't love your sponsor the best, and you think you don't think your sponsor is the best sponsor in the world, you might want to take a look at that. And if you don't think your home group is the best home group in the world, you might want to take a look at that. Because I think that I have the best sponsor ever, and I think I have the best home group ever. And it didn't come all at once to me. It's been handed to me through doing this fast. You know, I uncover, discover, and discard. And, you know, there's still a lot of defects. I'm not a saint. And I don't know anybody in here that stays a long time are, unless Bill, I don't know, Bill might, I don't know, but, or Rick, and my friend. But, you know, like, that's just a joke. I don't really see it, you know, I see people with a lot of years that struggle just that one day, you know, because, you know, it takes sometimes 1 hour, you know, one of my defects were hitting people, And I thought that I needed to hit you so you understood me, because you weren't listening. And my sponsor said, no hitting. No hitting in AA. And I'm like, why not? You know, they're not listening. And she said, you need to sit on your hands. And then you need to go make that amends. You know, and I remember one time I left to go to a meeting and I was mad. I was so mad. And I said some words and I didn't hit, and then I felt bad. And I called my sponsor and she said, you need to go make an amends. I said, why? I'm not sorry. And she says, where does it say in the 10th step that you have to be sorry to make amends? It says promptly amend. And I'm like, well, when did they put the promptly in that? You know, I've never seen promptly. I thought it said when you're no longer mad, then you make the amend. You know, I didn't know how to do this stuff. You know, and I had a wonderful sponsor, and still today have the same sponsor. And, you know, I got one of my goals in Alcoholics Anonymous was to give back into institutions. And so I was just like, I want to go to the jail, but I want to go to the front door, not the back door. And, you know, I signed up for that, and 17 months later, you know, I got to have a panel. And I got to take a panel in the jail, and I still get to do that. I just cried when, you know, I was approved, because, you know, I had a rap sheet that was pretty long, and there was a warrant at that time for my arrest. I said, you're kidding me. I'm 2 years sober, and now there's a warrant for my arrest, and I'm looking out the windows like I'm tweaking, you know, because I think that the sheriffs know now, you know, and they're going to come get me, and, you know, I got that all squared away, and then I called, and I said, you know, I don't remember all the crimes, you know, and if you lie on their application, and they find out, you know, you can't go in. So he said, just attach your rap sheet to it. And I'm like, that'll work. So, you know, that's what I got to do. And they accepted me, you know, and I was like, wow. You know, who would accept a person like me in their institution that used to go through the back door, you know? And you know, every time I drink, I get handcuffed, every time. And there's two questions that I ask my sponsees, you know, when you take the drink, can you stop? And the second question is, when you do drink, what happens? You know, and those are the two most important things for me. You know, I can't stop. I've never had one. I don't know who ever has had one. I even asked my mom, how do you have one drink? You know, and I remember going to a bar, and I was going to show AA. They were long, so I lined up three shots, and I took the middle one. And even though it was my first drink, I still took the middle one thinking that you guys were wrong. You know, I was trying any way not to be an alcoholic. And, you know, the freedom of bondage is awesome. You know, I had guilt with those children. I had guilt with a lot of crimes that I did. And, you know, doing the eighth and ninth step, I was able to be free of that bondage today. I was able to go, you know, and those were God-given. You know, there was a couple of them, you know, that I sold everything in my brother's house or everything in my mother's house, because that's what I do, you know. And I don't know how that I'm going to make that amends. And I still make that amends today. You know, I have a great, great uncle that I go see. That's a living amends. There's a lot of amends that I continue to do. And I get to be involved in H&I and hospitals and institutions. And wow. It has just brought me up to like, I want to do it. You know, we're having a conference in 2015 in Fresno for hospitals and institutions. And it's just going to be the bomb, man. You know, we have panelists on there. And it's always been a joy in my life, you know. And I never, ever thought I would be clear inside. It doesn't matter what I have outside. That comes and goes. That's always came and gone in my life. It's what I have inside that I want. I want it, and I have to keep it. So in order to keep it, I've got to take action. You know, and the big book says that we must not, there's a lot of musts in there, and it says we must not, we want to give away what is so freely given to us, so we must not miss that. You know, the growth in the person that walks in the door one day, and then we watch her grow spiritually, and we just go, wow, that's what it's about. That's the top, that's it, that's all you can get, is today. And the spirit, you know, greater than myself. You know, and all that rain coming down, I can hear it. But, you know, I really like questions and answers, you know, in a speaking, if that's okay, Bill, if we could do that. You know, I have been, it's been a privilege and an honor to be sober and to come to Visalia. And this is not my first time. I've gone to your alum club or where we have the H&I meetings. And if you're not involved in H&I, please do. Please. It's just the growth that you will get from it and the happiness that will come with it, you know. I mean, when I started working, you know, I'm employable today. And I answered 24 lines. And I didn't have a brain when I got here. This is what I came to you guys with. I had no brain. And I answered 24 different lines today. You know, I know when I can, like, enough's enough. I can't do this. I can only do so much, you know, and I get to sponsor, and I get to give away what was so freely given to me, you know, and it's just been really an honor and privilege, because I never, ever thought life would be like this, you know. I don't know if anybody knows the circuit speakers, person I look up to, and I've always looked up to throughout my sobriety, was Sandy Beach, and I got to meet him face to face. You know, I had a best friend. Rick is one of my best friends, but also I had a best friend named Matt Green, and I don't know if you guys knew him, but he wore a patch, and he had one half of a story, and he passed away about a year ago, and before then, we went around and we taped the CDs, and I got to meet a lot of circuit speakers, you know, Danny T, you know, I mean, just a lot of outstanding people that know where I came from and have an answer, because I don't know how to do this right. You know, I do it one day at a time, sometimes 1 hour. And that's the best of my ability. You know, what keeps me in the book and in my staff, or our staff, I should say, is sponsoring. You know, talking to one alcoholic. You know, that's how it works. So I can't think of anything else to say other than thank you so much for allowing me to share. And if anybody has any questions, let's do that. That's a lot of fun. Thank you.
When you were approved for H&I after 15 months, on your rap sheet, did you have felt?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a three striker. Seven, probably. Really. And, yes, it's only through the grace of God that I get to go. My sponsor, I would tell my sponsor, God, I have to go to jail. And she'd say, no, you get to go. And I'd say, yeah, that's right. I get to go. Mm-hmm. Avenal would not take me, though, because I was housed in Avenal State Prison, and they said no. But that didn't stop me. You know, I want to keep going. And, you know, God's all powerful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Anybody else have any questions? Okay. Okay.
I'm going to tell you a story.
You're welcome. You know, if an alcoholic dopamine like me can do this, come on. I mean, one day. It's all we got. It's one day.
I think I said that one day at a time.
Good for you. And there ain't no other place that will clap for you for saving your own life, right? Right?
How long did it take you to become employed?
God worked in my life. I was 6 months.
6 months?
Mm-hmm. And there was somebody at a meeting, and they were looking for, a receptionist. And I left that job for a little while and went to a recovery place. And it was just too much for my brain. I couldn't do it anymore. So I went back to that other job, and I've been there almost 7 years. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, through the grace of God that I get to do that. I think if we practice, that's what helps. Because I'm practicing and practicing. I'm practicing to be nice. I have attorneys that work up there. You know, good morning. You know, sometimes you're going, but you can't. You know, you're in the public. You're greeting people. So that really helps for my sobriety as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Hi, Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
All right, Mark.
What got you from an alcoholic on the street to an alcoholic in the car? What happened to you that drunk on the street trying to get away?
Well, it didn't happen overnight. I'll tell you that, Mark. I don't know when I surrendered to the disease of alcoholism. But I just kept coming back. You know, I just kept coming back. And I would go to women's meetings. And I remember I used to tell my head, shut up, shut up, shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Because this is right here is what will kill me. 6 and 7 will send me back out, which are my character defects. Because, see, alcohol and drugs are just a symptom, that's all. It's just but a symptom. When I drank, I didn't like the taste, but I liked the effect.
That's right.
And so, you know, I don't know, like when I finally surrendered, my sponsor never gave up on me, and I just kept coming back. And, you know, and then I started doing step 12. After having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. I couldn't have gave it away if I didn't have it. So I don't know when that was. Just all of a sudden I said, wow, my head shut up. Oh my God. You know, because I never thought it would shut up. You know, if they go down the skid row, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, you know. And it just, and I prayed on my knees every single morning. And if you're not praying on your knees, drop your keys under the bed. It works. Because you're down there already. You might as well say a prayer. And it works for me. And I pray all day long. You know, for the good and for something, even if I don't want it, you know, or I want it right now, whatever the outcome is. I still say thank you. Because it's all his will, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Cal. I'm alcoholic.
Hi, Cal.
When you were in your addiction, did you ever feel like giving up and killing yourself?
Oh yeah, I attempted suicide, jumping out of a basement window, pretty much. Calling the cops to myself, I mean, you know. And I said, oh, sorry, wrong thing, I didn't mean it, you know, and they made such a big deal about it. But, you know, that only happened, and then I started getting locked up. So that happened to me and probably, you know, when I was 19, 20 or something like that. And then when I was about 21, I would come around AA, and I wasn't in AA. I was coming around AA. And I just, you know, there was old people here that were about 40 years old. And I was like, this is too old for me. I gotta go. I don't know what brought me back, you know. I couldn't pinpoint one thing, but yes, I did try to kill myself, absolutely. And especially when I reunited with my children after not seeing them. You know, I walked away from them when they were 3 and 4, and I reunited with them when they were 17 and 18. And I did not know what to do. I was very restless, irritable, and discontented. So the only thing I knew what to do was to go drink and get loaded. And when I was in the hospital, somebody said, you're going to talk to somebody to get help. And I said, no, oh, no, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm fine. And we all know the definition of fine. And then they walked out, and I just said, man, God, there was a cockroach, you know, up there in the shower at this hospital. And I used to live like that on the street. And I said, well, what happened? What happened? Just, if you're there, help me. And I went into a program. I pray. What did he say?
How long after you guys did a session with him to get up to?
How long did I have my obsession?
How long did it take you to get out of the street after you realized you were
alcoholic? I went to that. What I did is I went to that. I was living on the street, and I was sentenced. After looking at the rap sheet, I was sentenced to Delancey Street. And I stayed there for 2.5 years. So I was mentally kind of cleared up a little bit up here. So 1997 was the last time I was locked up. And that's through the grace of God. Did I answer that okay?
I got a question. My name is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
I know that, you know, there's, what are some of the things in the beginning that you can do working on your steps, and sometimes, you know, we're limited to what we can do. Some of us can't get a sponsor. Some of us, you know, are in a program at that time. What are some of the things that you recommend us to do to start a recovery process?
Get in the book. Get in that book. And look at that book. For me, this is what I had to do. I had to read that book, because I'm an addict too. And I went to the other meetings for a year as well. But my foundation is in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I read that book as if I was in there. Because nothing's changed since 1935. Only the alcohol and the color and all that stuff. The symptoms are all the same. So I put myself in that book, you know, where it says, we as with I, because I was insane.
But some of them, we may not know that. We won't have the awakening book. What are some of the things, you know, you can read through the book, like, it, you know, it's our textbook. You can read through it like any other book, and we may not know that at the beginning. What are some of the things that we can start out by doing working through that whole book, what are some of the things your key notes, what are we can do?
Call people. You know, if you can't get a sponsor, I don't know of that to ever been happening in any program, that you cannot get a temporary sponsor to work with you, to call and say, hey, I don't understand this. Because I had to, with my own thinking, I had to go through it with some other human being as well. But when I couldn't, when it was, up to my own devices, I asked God. God, show me the next indicated thing. Do I wash dishes or do I do the laundry? I didn't even know what to do then. And then I call somebody. I get on the phone, and if you can't call anybody, then use that as a text. When you go to a meeting, get a man and say, you know what? I'm stuck on this area right here. Reach out. Because I had to hustle this program like I hustled the street. I had to, or I'm going to die.
That's right.
I'm going to die if I don't hustle it. And I hustle it every single day. I go to my home group. I see girls there that I sponsor. Kirk, we hustle. We hustle to get. And I don't want to hear, oh, that meeting's too far. Don't come up to me and tell me that. Because it wasn't too far for you to drink or use. So I don't want to hear that crap. Because I go to any links. And what any links looks like is those greeters out there that shake your hand, making coffee. The coffee man, he's probably the most important person. Right. Those things help me stay sober. That's any link. You're at a business meeting and they need, somebody to clean up the floor and they're looking at you. Your turn.
That's
right. Because I took all my life. It's time for me to give away. That's how I feel.
My name's Jessica, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jessica.
So you said discover, uncover, and discard.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Discover who you are, fourth and fifth. Uncover, which is your character defects. And discard is throwing out some of those bad defects, like stop hitting people, being kind to people, saying please and thank you. That was not in my vocabulary. Hey, what's up? That was my vocabulary. My talk, my walk, everything had to change about me because I was institutionalized. So I didn't know any difference. And like I said, my job really helped me be nice because I don't want to be nice some days. And then, I call people, get a sponsor, and I read that big book. And read it with another person. And I suggest men work with men and women with women. That's just how it works. That doesn't mean I can't have a guy friend, because I do. At the beginning, though, I didn't know how to be like a lady. So I had to stick by the ladies. I had to watch what they did and see if I want what they have. And some of them I didn't. And some of them I did. But regardless, I went no matter what. And I called my sponsor. I didn't like that meeting. They're a bitch. All this stuff. And she said, well, then you learned something from that meeting. I'm like, what? And she's like, you learned what you don't want to be. And I'm like, oh, okay. So you always learn from a meeting. I didn't know that. I'm judging you. I'm putting a label on you. She's like, don't do that. You don't like to be judged or labeled. And I'm like, yeah, that'll tell me. I was just so terrible. I was just terrible. Until I got that first awakening, and I don't know when that came. I don't know. But I do know, everyday praying, all those logos, all that stuff you hear in the meetings, and you go, God, that guy says it every time. We have one guy in our fellowship. he says his name, he says, just don't drink. And I'm like, really? How the heck do you do that? You just don't drink. That's not enough for me. I got to do more for my sobriety. You know, if I want to get rid of some defective characters, I don't think they're defects. Some characters are good. And God will take away what I'm not supposed to have. So, any more questions? Thanks,
when it comes to service, I have five different service positions. I'm going to say, well, I'm giving my sobriety. A couple people have told me that that's too many and I'm not spending enough time with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel comfortable with that in the service position. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll share my experience. I'm a person that I say yes, yes, yes. My sponsor told me never to say no. And I got so overwhelmed. You know, I was sponsoring, you know, a lot of women. I was doing a lot of service commitments. And I was running for myself. I really was. And I couldn't just be with God. You know, my meditation was like 2 minutes. It's like, no, God gives us all day. Sit down and have a talk with him for a while. You know, and ask your sponsor. Ask your God, is your understanding? You know, am I running? What's my motive? And I had to cut some things out, you know, because I was, you know, because I have a life too, you know, at home. And I need to be home too. So I need to take what I'm learning here and take the principles as I learn at home. Because that's the worst place I've been. That's the worst place in my disease. You know, is at home. It's hard to say please and thank you. Because you just assume, you know, at least I do. I just assume that they're going to be there. And it's not correct. Yeah, I take it with me. Okay, anybody else? Alright, now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I have some good ones. First time I sponsored a couple of them. And I enable them, you know, I'm chasing them all around. And yeah, I really felt unsure of myself. And I would call my sponsor. And she would help me, you know, work through what I was doing. And she'd say, stop chasing them. If they don't want what we've got, you know, then stop it. I want you to read page 96 or 97 where it says, we don't, you know, chase the alcoholic. There's plenty of them out there that want our help. You know, and there's a lot of people who need this program, but it only works for people who want it. Mm-hmm. Yes? Did I always have the gift of gab? No, it came over a time. Yeah, Bill could probably admit to that. Because my first time speaking here, I think I had 2 years. I was so nervous. My sponsor was here, and Ram, and all the girls. And yeah, no, I didn't. I was so nervous. I think I spoke only 10 minutes. You know, but it has. It came over a period of time, and I do listen to a lot of CDs as well. So.
My name is Jessica, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jessica.
I just wanted to say to you that, you know, you're a true testament to what God can do in our lives and what the program of Alcoholics Anonymous can do for us, you know what I mean? Because you're a homegirl, but you look really classy.
God is like, it's not me, man. It ain't me. It really isn't. You know, it's only through the grace of God that I get to stand up here sober today, and I truly, truly believe that. So, anybody else? I think we've got a couple more minutes.
Get an alcoholic. What was the drink of your choice?
Thunderbird.
Really?
It didn't start out as Thunderbird. It started out with, you know, Celia.
Meetings
the whole month of March on Sunday at Sierra Fellowship in Clovis. And it starts on the 2nd, which is this Sunday, and it'll go down every Sunday this month because we need to get flyers out there and pre-registration for our 2015 conference. So, and we need chairs, we need co-chairs, we need panelists, you know, we need a lot of help with this. And especially from this area, we invite you to please come. And I don't know if there's an address on here, but Sierra Fellowship, if you could look it up in your, I don't know, is it in the book, the meeting book?
Online. Punch it in your phone.
Okay, punch it in your phone. But Rick might know. What's the address? We just live there. We don't know. But anyway, it's a really great group that we've already started up, and it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun to be involved in, and I wish that you guys would.
What's great is that?
What is that? Sunnyside and...
Toll House.
And what?
First?
No, the Sierra Fellowship. Oh, it's on the corner there.
Sunnyside and First?
Toll House. Sunnyside is across street in Fowler. Another cross street.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's 8 o'clock. Thank you all for allowing me to share. Thank you.